feeding your passion for local sports in the afternoon. It's the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper on your radio at 1140 AM.
Streaming audio at SacktownSports.com and the Sacktown Sports app.
You can also watch the show on YouTube at Sacktown Sports 1140. Here are the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper.
Welcome, Kyle Draper on assignment. In for him today, all-time Kings icon, Jerry Reynolds. Welcome, Jerry.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah. Enjoy being here. Trying to fill in for Kyle. It's an impossible task.
It is a tough one. It is a tough one. We appreciate it. What the heck is going on? What day is it? It's Thursday and we got NBA basketball tipping off in a few moments? I don't understand.
I will never understand. And yeah, why? Why couldn't they? I don't understand the early start.
Right.
Or maybe the ugliest court that I've ever seen.
This is something. This is, the first game today of the quarterfinals. Excuse me, the semifinals of the in-season tournament in Vegas. And they're starting, I assume they're starting early, Jerry, because they want to have separate admissions for the two games. So you got to start early so you can get everybody in and get them out for the next game.
I assume that would be pretty accurate because that's what they're doing.
Yeah. So you got the early start today. And this is, I guess, the exclusive, unique semifinal court. And a lot of red on there. A lot of red. And I understand the Lakers were told they could not wear their black uniforms in these games, this game, maybe the next game, because it contrasted with the court. It's a bold statement here.
The question I'd ask is what color would not contrast
with
the court?
Yeah. Wearing their gold. That's not a real smooth fit with the red and the blue, but hey, so far this thing's been a real success.
It really has. I mean, no question about it. The players seem to have gotten into it. The effort was especially outstanding, I thought, with all the teams that were competing to be in it. And so I'd have to think Adam Silver feels very good about it. We discussed it on our old-fashioned three podcast, and of course my feeling was and still is that it was a success. And by year three, I think it'll sizzle.
Really?
The sizzle will be gone.
You think once the novelty wears off, bye-bye in-season tournament?
I do.
Wow.
I do. I mean, I think it'll have some interest, but I just think it will sizzle out a little bit.
That's interesting. You're the only one I've heard say, I'm not saying you're wrong, but everyone's been so excited about it. Of course, a lot of people are, working for the league, so it behooves them to promote this, but wow, that's an interesting thought. You think maybe the players will just get to the point where, it's not that big a deal?
Well, at some point, the stars will get to feeling that. And that's the whole difference, is I think, majority of players, I think the money is a factor. But I think it is interesting for the Adetokounmpos and LeBrons and all those guys. It was important this year, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, as I am a lot.
You might have been wrong.
Yeah, spring of 47, but, I wasn't even sure as wrong then.
Right.
But anyway, I think as the stars, if the stars lose a little interest, and I think they will because they make so much, and so you may start seeing guys miss games during so-called tournament games,
Right. I thought we might see that this year, but so far, so good. What do you think this might mean, you as a student of the game? Student of the history of the game, LeBron or whoever ends up winning this, let's just say it's LeBron, does it mean anything to his quote-unquote legacy that he was the winner in the first ever in-season tournament?
I would hope not. his legacy is the greatest
player. Pretty secure as it is.
Yeah, and whoever. I mean, it's a little feather in the cap if you want to take it that way. There's no downside to winning it. Somebody's got to be first, and that's important.
It probably would depend on how he approaches it, right? I mean, if he tries to trumpet it as, wow, this is a real achievement, then I guess we'll have no choice but to kind of look at it that way. It's kind of the way he wants to play it, if they win.
Yeah, and I think being first is always a little something added to it, and so there's that. I guess the question I have about the whole thing is, so-called game 83 for the championship, which is a game that in effect doesn't count on the standings. What if one of the stars gets really hurt?
Yeah. Let's hope not.
Pray not. I mean, talk about an end of the tournament.
Right, right. Jerry Reynolds in today, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Got any questions for the Kings icon? We always play Ask Jerry wide open all show long when Jerry's in. We're only here today till 4:30 because we've got a crackerjack of a Thursday night football game for you. The Steelers and the Patriots, look out.
Woo! I love NFL football, but I can pass on this.
Really?
You know, I think I can.
Yeah. Did you know that technically the Patriots, I think they've won two games, they are not mathematically eliminated yet. They're still mathematically alive. And they're just barely, because the most they could win is seven, and there's about four teams that have already won seven. But technically, for what it's worth, they are still alive. That said, I know Frankie's going to be with us today. Bottom of the hour. We were just talking to Frankie before the show, and you and Frankie were pointing out that this game tonight is still going to have bigger ratings than the Bucks and the Lakers of the second game, right? Who's playing the first game today?
You know,
I think the first game is the Bucks and the Pacers.
Bucks and the Pacers.
Yeah. So the night game would be the Lakers and the Pelicans. And still, the Steelers and the Patriots will have a bigger audience than that game.
Yeah, they will. They won't have me as an audience, but they'll have a bigger audience.
Yeah, because there's, isn't that Brooke Lopez back there?
That looks like Brooke Lopez.
I got to admit, Jer, I know we talked months ago about the in-season tournament, and we were both kind of skeptical about the whole thing. But when the Kings lost that game to the Pelicans, I was really disappointed, not only in the way they played and that they lost and all that, which we'll get to, but I was disappointed that they got knocked out of the tournament. I was looking forward to seeing them in Vegas.
I was too. You know, I have to admit, you know, I was one of those very skeptical of the whole thing and still remain so going forward. But I think this year has been a terrific success and really was pulling for the Kings. You know, I thought how it was promoted and everything. You know, you just really wanted to see the Kings move on to Vegas and didn't happen.
Yeah, I thought once they got through group play, that was the hardest part. And then they got one home game against the Pelicans team that, yeah, the Pelicans had pushed them around a couple times. But, you know, they'd learned from their losses to them, and they were home, and they came out, you know, shooting the ball so well. And then once that game started going the other way, the Kings just never tilted it back in their favor.
No, you know, I think with the Pelicans, I was certainly concerned because, you know, not just the two losses in New Orleans earlier, but Trey Murphy and C.J. McCollum were going to play. They hadn't played in those first two, and that's two of their top six guys.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's just no reason to believe they were going to be worse, and they weren't.
Mm-hmm. We may also remember that game as kind of the coming out party of the Pelicans because, yeah, as you say, they haven't played together a lot, but that when they are together and they're healthy and they're playing well, that's a potentially really good team.
Yeah, it really is. And of course, you know, they're like a lot of teams when they're all together, all healthy, they're terrific. And I think we'd seen that before, but it's also true. Zion, McCollum, and Ingram, the three best players, have missed a lot of games for various reasons, injuries and so forth. And so, you know, why would we think it's, you know, it's going to be different? I mean, if things stay healthy, they're a real threat.
Zion didn't, he had 10 points, I think, in the game. He had six assists. Did the Kings do a really good job of kind of slowing him down, or did the Pelicans just run everything through Ingram and they didn't really need much from Zion in that game?
Well, I don't think they needed a lot. I thought maybe the Kings did do a better job on him, but it was clear that they got plenty of points everywhere else.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then they got a great bench performance. I think that's, you know, the Kings have got a solid bench, but it's pretty clear the Pelicans have a better bench.
Didn't it look like maybe Mike Brown was not real happy with his bench in that game? It seemed like he was didn't have a lot of faith in a lot of guys coming off the bench.
Yeah, I think that's true. And, I mean, he had every reason to. Every reason.
You're a little unhappy with it.
Yeah, you know, I why would you be happy with non-productive play, you know, other than, of course, Malik. You can always count, seem like you can always count on Malik because I really think he's their third best player. And, you know, basically pretty much every game shows that.
That's good for Malik, but ideally he wouldn't be your third best player, right? Nothing against him. It's great that he plays well, obviously, but you'd like to see maybe Keegan become that guy.
Well, yeah, you'd like. I mean, if in a perfect world, if you're going to for a guy as good as Malik, if he's coming off the bench and maybe a sixth man of the year candidate, which he is.
Yeah.
But he could still be your fifth best.
Yeah.
And you'd be a real threat.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. I mean, that's where you'd like to see Keegan or Herter or somebody else to step into that role, being a much more consistent factor.
The Kings are, 11-8 right now? And they're in playoff position. But yet there seems to be right now, they're 11-8, they're sixth in the West. There seems to be kind of a sense of a little more anxiety. Last year, everything was great. Wow, they're going to break the drought. They're going to get in the playoffs. Great. This year so far, it seems like there's a little more nervousness on the part of the fans. Are we overreacting? Are expectations out of whack? I mean, what really, in your opinion, is the state of this team right now?
Well, I think there's some concern. I'm a fan, and I think that expectations always can be a factor. And I think, but the record is fine. It's just kind of how it's been arrived at. I think a few too many blowouts for a team that's basically very stable.
Mm-hmm.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With the continuity they have and the coaching and all that. So that's a concern. And
you mean when they look bad, they look really – you're talking about when they get blown out and there are too many games where they're not competitive?
They have been drubbed a few times early.
Yeah.
I said everybody gets drubbed in the NBA, but usually they wait till mid-year for the good teams to get drubbed once or twice.
Uh-huh.
And so it happens. So, I think there's and I think as a fan – most of us expected the team to come out of the box maybe a little better defensively, even better offensively, and that just hasn't happened.
What is the ceiling for this Kings team? We've got that when we come right back. It's a Drive Guys with Jerry Reynolds in today for Kyle Draper on Sacktown Sports.
Your flagship station for the Beam Team, Sacktown Sports.
Yeah, Jerry Reynolds is in today, and of course, Jerry wrote that book years ago, still popular, Reynolds Remembers, and a moment ago, Jerry was remembering something about Greg Ostertag. Is this a story you can tell on the radio about Greg Ostertag and his box fan?
No, it's actually Lawrence Funderburk.
Oh, Lawrence Funderburk. Lawrence Funderburk.
Lawrence Funderburk and his box fan, he felt he couldn't sleep without a box fan,
uh-huh.
And so everywhere the team went, basically besides the normal stuff you packed, they packed a box fan, and I did hear occasionally the equipment people kind of take his name in vain periodically because they'd have to schlep that thing around and get it up to his room. So so really, as good a guy as Lawrence was, there were.
He needed
Once or twice, two or three in the morning, I'd hear a little, his name taken in vain.
Gotcha. Yeah. The tournament semifinals are underway, Indiana and Milwaukee. Isn't it incredible that you look at what's going on here in Vegas? They've got an NBA game going now. And just the way Vegas's sports profile has grown now to be, hosting first the Summer League and now this in-season tournament. And it certainly seems inevitable that when they finally expand in the NBA, once they get the TV deal straightened out, Vegas is going to get a team.
Oh, I think so. I think the next, obviously, Seattle and Vegas would be the two favorites. And maybe Vegas even more than Seattle at this stage.
They got the hockey team, the WNBA team. Sorry, Jay, we don't like to talk about this. They're getting a baseball team. It looks like it anyway, fingers crossed. And of course, it wasn't that long ago. They got the Raiders. Wasn't that long ago where pro sports leagues, well, oh, we will never go into Las Vegas because of the gambling. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, hey, gamble on our games.
Yeah, like it's a key part of the,
right. Yes.
Of the sport, you know. And yeah, I would have never thought I would see that, you know, really, that mm-hmm. where they're encouraging gambling in many ways.
Yeah. Let's face it. I mean, Joe and Gavin, in a way, they were ahead of their time because they had their eyes on Vegas, right? A lot of people were really concerned. I remember when they bought the Kings, a lot of us thought, oh, no, they're going to move the team to Vegas. They never did. They tried to move it somewhere else. That didn't work out. But they kind of recognized what could happen in Vegas before a lot of other people, I think.
Of course, they had their eyes on about every city
yes,
in America. Yes, I know. So,
yeah, Virginia Beach? What? Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I do think that they were – probably a little ahead of people in that particular way, that the potential. And I don't think anybody really anticipated a potential pro sports in Vegas until hockey and how well it did right away.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of okay. If hockey, you know, which isn't quite the same level as NBA or football and all, did so well, opened up a lot of doors.
Yeah, there's not a lot of people that live there, 2.2 million or so. But they count on, the teams do count on so many people traveling to see the games. And so far that seems to be working. Although my understanding is the hockey team, they consider it, people in Vegas consider that our team, not a transplant. And they really love that team. And also because they started winning so early on. Weren't the Maloofs instrumental in that NBA All-Star game being played in Vegas that one year?
I think they were.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know they really pushed it, and certainly. And obviously they had their reasons to do with the Palms and a lot of their investments in Vegas. But it did make sense and, mm-hmm. you know, went well, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had some off-the-court issues, but anyway, and that kind of set back Vegas's efforts to land pro sports teams. But here we are with the in-season tournament being played in Vegas, and Vegas on the threshold, it would appear, of getting an expansion team. The commissioner talked about that. He talks about it a lot. And he says there's other cities involved. Of course, Seattle, Vegas. He says Mexico City. He says Vancouver, Montreal want teams. But they're not going to get teams, are they? I mean, isn't he just trying to up the bidding?
Probably. I mean, to me, it's like until Seattle gets one, you know, nobody should have one.
Yeah. If they bypass Seattle in expansion, that would be criminal.
It really would be. It really would be. I mean, you know, there was a great basketball town, city, great city, beautiful city. And, yeah, I mean, like say, I know Mexico City. I've been there, you know, with the team. And it's a huge, huge market. But it's like Toronto. Anytime you cross borders, it's such a pain in the rear for the players.
Mm-hmm.
And then the financial arrangements, you know, what the value of the dollar is in each country is so different. So it really is just not a destination for players.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You want to give us a call, shoot us a text on the chat here. Manny Too Legit says, cool hat, Jerry. How long have you had, can I ask, how long have you had that hat?
Yeah, this is about 10 years old.
Okay.
Is relatively new. Like the Kings thing I'm wearing here, this is older than Manny, I think. I think it's well into its 25-year mark.
Older than me.
Definitely, yeah. Do you have any of the old red and blue stuff from the early, early days?
You know, I think I do, but just very little. I mean, it's kind of over the years. I don't, you know, there's a couple things I've set back type things.
And that's why... maybe you kind of liked the in-season tournament, the court, and the uniforms because they're kind of a throwback. And
I did like the uniforms. I did. Although, as you know, I've said at some point, pick a color. You know, just pick a color. I mean, I always liked the purple and black. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that was, to me, it's like, okay, that worked. So what's the point?
Right.
I mean, and
right.
They even, one year they even had red as a –
yep.
Second or third. I mean, I just about had to gag on that one.
Well, and I know this makes me sound old, but, you know, there was a time when, like, your high school had colors, and the colors meant something. So I understand you want to sell jerseys, but baseball teams now and basketball teams, you're right. Sometimes they're, okay, if you're going to wear a variation with the same colors, that's one thing. But when you come out in totally different colors, to me it's like, whoa, 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 hold on. Those aren't your colors.
Yeah, that's
like if the Celtics were wearing, you know, pink and blue or something. But you can't do that.
You can't do that.
No.
I'm not going to apologize for that. And I really think the marketing people are wrong in a sense that they say, well, you know, set we'll sell more.
Yeah.
I don't believe that's true. I think if you get set on a color and your team is good, I think you'll sell every bit as much because mm-hmm. At least everybody knows this is our team.
Yeah.
You know, we're in blue or black
right,
or whatever.
Right.
Rather
your
than
colors mean something. They stand for something.
It needs to mean something. I always say that's what I like about the established franchise, you know, Green Bay Packers, you know what they look like.
Yes.
You know, the Boston Celtics, mm-hmm. you know what they look like.
Right.
I mean, they really don't change. Kentucky Wildcats. I mean, there's a color scheme, the Duke Blue Devils. You know, and I mean, I think there's some merit to that, by the way.
Yeah. I was, of course, Kyle and I were out at the arena Monday, did our show out there before the game. And so we're taken in the scene there. And they had blue T-shirts on the seats for everybody. And it was just a sea of blue with the in-season tournament court. And I tweeted a picture of it. And, you know, a lot of people said, oh, it's sea of blue. That's great. I can't wait to get a shirt. But there was a fairly significant number of people that said, I don't like the blue. We're purple. So there's still, I think as a franchise, they got to decide what they want to do there. Are we going to be purple all the way? Got the purple beam? Or are we going to go back to the, you know, the royal blue.
Yeah, we don't have a royal blue beam, do we?
No, we do not.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think so that to me kind of establishes something.
Uh-huh.
And, I think it's a perfect time to, you know, kind of make a statement. It's like, well, this is a good young team, fun team. We don't know exactly how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
But with the coach in front, everything is really going well. So, okay, this is who we are and we're going to be.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's me. I can't, I'm not, I'm just.
And I think it was, I think the Jazz and the Suns and maybe the Lakers, those teams had purple in their in-season tournament courts and the Kings did not. And
did
a lot
not.
Of people were a little disappointed there.
Very, but, I'm not little, I'm very.
Really?
Very,
yeah.
Very, yes.
Frankie's going to join us bottom of the hour, but among other things we'll talk about here, Jared, I'd love to get your thoughts on this here. What is the ceiling for this Kings team this year, in your opinion? And how could it be raised, perhaps? Is this a championship team? Probably not.
I don't think. I don't believe it is. I'd love to be wrong, but I just don't see it. You know, I think there's moves and experience and different things that's going to have to happen for it to move into the upper echelon of the league as opposed to being a really good team.
Yeah, and things don't typically happen that quickly where you're missing the playoffs for 17 years. Then you make the playoffs, then you're a champion. It doesn't usually happen like that in that linear and that quick of a fashion.
No, I asked Denver.
Yeah.
You know, they could tell you about that and or Milwaukee, even with the Adetokounmpo. I mean, it's a process.
Yeah.
And you go back to the early 2000s with the Kings, it was three playoffs before they even won a playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's a process.
So do you think they're with the deadline – approaching. I know it's still not even Christmas yet. They've got some tough decisions to make, right? To what extent do you stay the course and to what extent do you maybe roll the dice a little bit on a big move that would improve you now? In general, you're against doing something splashy now that would cost you any future assets, right?
Well, I sure wouldn't want to move or lose a really young, proven potential star, you know, like a Keegan Murray. I mean, I wouldn't want to overreact on something like that. I mean, but
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
But, yeah, I think, you know, I'm sure that Monty McNair, his main job is to try to make the franchise better. And so you'll look at what's available, and you'll probably have to take calls on people that you really wouldn't want to necessarily trade, but you'd have to at least listen.
Mm-hmm.
But having said all that, and, you know, we've talked about it before, it's like, think about trading, and I've learned over the years, you can't trade unless you find somebody to trade with you. I think sometimes as fans, we don't realize
you probably had a lot of guys you wanted to trade, but nobody wanted.
Oh,
right?
Yes. there was a ton of guys that I wanted, and we didn't have anybody they wanted. And so creates a real conflict.
Right. Hard to get something done. Yeah. You know, there's supposedly Siakam maybe available and Anobi out of Toronto. Presumably they'd be available. We don't know. But, of course, you don't know if you'd be able to re-sign them. Then there's a guy, there's a news today about Zach LaVine. Oh, he wants to stay in Chicago, but he's hurt. Some people say he had a procedure on his foot so that he'll be out until he's traded. I don't know. Zach LaVine is a guy that a lot of Kings fans get excited about. The Kings had interest in him earlier. I like him as a player, but I don't see him as a fit here. I don't want Zach LaVine.
I'm not a huge fan. I think he's a marvelous individual talent,
mm-hmm.
but I've never, you know, he's always been in what I call a ball stopper. You know, he really, in this team, I mean, you can afford to have Fox maybe stop it because he's so productive and so good, but you don't need that from anybody else.
Right. Otherwise, the whole thing starts to
The whole
to
thing breaks down.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then plus his contract status. And
oh, he's making a ton of money.
Making a ton. And, you know, they've won, what, 3 straight games with him hurt. So
that's another thing. Yeah. Bless him. Wish him all the best. Don't really want him here. You know who we do want here is Frankie Cardicelli, our Sacktown Sports Kings insider. He joins us next with a look at, as we say, what is the ceiling for this team and how do they get to that ceiling this year? Frankie joining us next year. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
The Drive Guys powering your afternoons Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
Yeah, rainy, cold today, but Jerry Reynolds in for Kyle Draper, bringing just a ray of sunshine and wisdom and knowledge. Whitey Gleason here to Drive Guys. Jerry, I know that you are a nickname guy. Frankie's joining us here. Frankie Cardicelli, our Sacktown Sports Insider. He has a nickname that he doesn't like that other people have given him.
Which one?
Yeah. What do you think? You see Frankie here. The nickname that he's been given, I'm not sure why, is a cowboy. He's the cowboy Frankie Cardicelli. Do you think that nickname fits him?
No. No, I don't think so either. It's been a tough run for me, Jerry. It was the King's Cowboy.
The King's Cowboy.
And then it's Pizza Guy, which we all know Isaiah Thomas is the pizza guy.
Yes, you're pizza cowboy.
Forever.
Yeah.
But for some reason during King's Media Day, I took a piece of pizza. And now Carmichael Dave and Christopher Law, they're calling me pizza guy. So now it's one day I'm cowboy, one day I'm pizza guy. I don't like either. Huh. Or Mark Daigneault to you for a while.
He reminds me a little bit of Coach Daigneault. I don't know.
No.
I don't see it either.
Pizza cowboy. No, that's what I'm going with.
Clearly, it's just unfair attacks.
It is. Yeah. It's untaxed.
Maybe at some point,
slander.
Maybe Jerry will feel compelled to give you a nickname.
I have to earn that.
That one would probably stick.
I'll come up with something for you. But I mean, I could do better than that.
Thank you. I know you're the king of nicknames, Jerry, and I have to earn that, obviously.
Yes, yes. I mean, you know. But you're on the right track. I think you're worthy. You're nickname worthy.
Yes.
Thank you.
And it's not cowboy.
Thank you. See, the king has spoken.
Yes. Next time you talk to Malik Monk, can you share with him Jerry's nickname?
No. I told you. I thought you just can't help but think about it. I don't care. But I would never use it because unless he wanted you to.
Do you know what it is?
I think I've heard it before.
Yeah, Chip. Yeah.
That's Chip, right. Chip. I think it'd be great. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Well, I just don't think he'd like it. I mean, but then again, he might. I always say, you know, years ago when I had some lady jump me about using Beno Udrich as a Tasmanian Slovenian, she thought that was disrespectful. I said, well, Beno loves it.
Yeah, I mean,
and so I could care less what you think. I mean, Beno really likes it.
I brought that up the other day about Beno because we were talking about him last night at practice because he's in Pistons organization now, I think, right? Or he's assistant coach somewhere. But just talking about how because Brendan Nunes, have you met Brendan? He was a Bay Area guy growing up and not very familiar with the Kings like 2000. Mm. not like the, you know, all the early 2000s Kings, the real thick of it Kings, the 08, 09, 2010 Kings. And I said, Bano was like one of the bright spots when I was growing up because like he was just so fun to watch. And I had to teach him a thing or two about, about Bano. And
Bano, player, right? Solid backup.
Oh, he's a good, a very good player. You know, probably a top-level backup and a low-level starter. I mean, that's the reality of it. If Bano's your starter, you're not going to win a lot of games. And if he's your backup, you know, a 20-minute backup, you can be good.
I know that, and we can't say it on the radio, but I know when you were interested in acquiring him, Pop gave you a very clear scattering report on what Bano brings you.
He did, and we'll just
go there, but
we'll just keep that within ourselves.
I'm about to hear that off the air. I'm going to have to hear that off the air.
But we're on the air now with you, Frankie. Hey, how come people are so disappointed? This team is, you know, 11-8, but they get knocked out of the play-in, and there's a lot of angst right now in the Kings fan world.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I mean, it's a bummer to get, you know, booted out of the in-season tournament when how fun it was and how well the Kings were playing. And obviously, you can see right now, aside from the interesting 2 p.m. start, which we were talking about, I think it is a very successful event that the NBA's put together here. And it's early on, and it could look a lot different down the line. But it hurts. The Kings had a, you know, packed house on Monday night, and against a team that has been kind of bullying the Kings this year, they fall to 0-3 against New Orleans, which is never fun. But it was almost like interesting to me to see that the Kings are better at this point in the year than they were last year from a record standpoint. And that's while dealing with injuries, which they compared to last year, didn't have to deal with anything like this. They've had to deal with a slew of injuries, whether it's De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray, you have Chris Duarte, who's been banged up with some knee issues, Alex Len out for almost 2 months. But obviously, when you lose a game like that that is meaningful on the surface, it's going to hurt a little bit and cause people to be upset. And obviously, the Harrison Barnes conversation has taken center stage when I think really what's being lost in the shuffle is how, and again, you can't be a zero on offense, but that's not really the role he's in right now as being a top-tier guy. He did a decent job on Zion Williamson, who was a nightmare for the Kings. And it's just something I think that was a little overblown, and the lows are low when you lose. The highs are high when you win. And I think if the Kings turn around and win tomorrow night in Phoenix, people are going to be feeling a lot better.
Where are you with the Harrison Barnes deal, Jaron? Just so you know, fans, just when things are going wrong, fans seem to focus on him because they just feel like, well, for what he's getting paid and he's starting, he should be producing more. What are they missing?
Well, he probably should be offensively, but it's like Frankie said, I mean, defensively he's been solid. I mean, nobody's going to stop the tops or stop the main stars. But, you know, the thing I always come back to, you know, he's got the best shooting efficiency or scoring efficiency rating of anybody other than Domas. You know, he's at about a point and a half a shot. Well, that'll win you 60 games if everybody does that. But the point is, he's not shooting very much. And it's been, I guess, my contention, as you know, I kind of think the Kings are partly to blame, is that last year they used him in the low post a lot, and I haven't seen him in there all year. You know, and it'd be, you know, if you want to get him involved, you know, especially with Domas high, you can always slip him in there, you know, for some low post hits. And you know, to me, it'd be like, that'd be a way to get him involved. And I think with Harrison, he by nature is probably a guy who fits into a fault. And you might have to, as Coach Brown said, we don't call anything for him. Well, probably you ought to.
Yeah, that's a great point because, you know, if you have a guy who's an efficient scorer, it's easy to say, well, he's not doing anything, and maybe it's incumbent upon the team, the point guard, somebody to get him involved in the offense.
Yeah, and I think that we were talking about it yesterday with Chris and Alan and Brendan about how when the Kings have kind of found themselves in a tough position, they, you know, they kind of live and die by the three. They're a three-point shooting team in their top five in attempts, 20th in three-point percentage, so that kind of shows you when the shots are falling, they kind of keep going. And against New Orleans, they were 7 of 11 in the first quarter, and they finished 7 of 30 after that. So that's kind of showing you that they're not really trying different things. And I was wondering, where are they in the paint? They're 19th in points in the paint. So Harrison Barnes, like we're talking about, is so good with, you know, he's got a big body. I always kind of compare it to, he's not LeBron James, but he's kind of got like a LeBron James-esque build. He's, you know, 6'8" and 230, 240. He's got to be able to use that. And when he does, he can get downhill and he's tough to stop going to the basket. And before Keegan Murray and before Kevin Huerter were here, obviously, he was a lot more aggressive. He was a near 20-point-per-game scorer, but that's not really who he is anymore. But at times, those guys, Kevin Huerter and Keegan Murray, are good shooters. Right now, the shots aren't falling, and you got to change things up. What what's it going to hurt if Harrison Barnes puts his head down and tries to kind of work his way into the paint near the basket? Maybe he scores, maybe he gets fouled, but the Kings, when they kind of fall into these holes, they keep shooting, and sometimes they shoot out of it, but like we saw on Monday, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and he has a pretty good ability to draw fouls going to the basket and or posting up. You know, he's got some skill there, and I just think, that, especially with the way Domas is so effective away from the basket with the the screen handoffs and dribble handoffs and high screen roll situations. But, I mean, you could easily – you got all that space underneath. Mm-hmm. You know, you got all that space underneath, and it's not being used in effect. And as opposed to just having guys spotted up, you hope will get a three and make a three.
Yeah, knock them down. And you have to hope they will fall down at some point because, I mean, Keegan Murray, he's shooting 30% from three right now. Kevin Herter, we've seen he turned it around. But – yeah, you want to see them change it up a little more and mix things up because you don't want to be predictable. Mm-hmm. And the Kings, when they're really not hitting threes, there's not much going on outside Sabonis in the paint. And Fox, obviously, what he can do to get into the paint with his ability to, you know, even the step-back jumpers, what have you. But I think the Kings need a little more of everybody as far as getting inside the paint.
Yeah, that's no-name Cardicelli. And, of course, Jerry Reynolds with us here. Drive, guys. How come the Kings aren't running more? I don't know if it was you. I know you were there. Somebody asked Mike Brown about that. He had a really interesting response to that question after the last game. Why aren't the Kings getting out and running more?
I mean, everyone has said it coming into this year that all 29 other teams have had a chance to scout them. They know how to cut them off and slow them down. De'Aaron Fox right now, not quite 100% as well with that ankle. And that's something he even said that he's able to play. But he said that I think it was against maybe Denver that he would have thrown down a windmill. But he's like, I can't really reach back that far yet. I think it's just a matter of the NBA adapting to their offense and the fact that you can't really expect to come out and after a record-setting offense and expect to run the same exact, schemes over and over and have teams just kind of go, okay, well, we're going to let De'Aaron Fox out and really run the pace and run the floor here. But I think that they'll adjust and they'll continue to keep running. And, you know, obviously it's early in the season. They're going to make adjustments, but it's been a little more slow and that has kind of slowed down the offense. They're still top 10 in offense, they're ninth in scoring points per game right now, but it's not quite the same pizzazz as last year, and they're gonna have to learn how to adapt that way.
Yeah,
you know, to Frankie's point, it's really a great point.
Frankie made a really great point.
Well, good point. Okay, I mean that's probably a
Jerry's being very nice to me right now. We just met. We're
solid.
We're
a solid point.
Thank okay, you. I appreciate it. But you're calling me no name over here.
But you know, the point is right. I mean, teams do scout. And I said, I thought last year was the greatest example I'd ever seen. I was so wrong. I said, you can't run after made baskets. And the Kings did. They were able to run after made baskets. This year, it's harder for them. They're still getting scored on a lot like they did last year. But last year, they were able to take teams by surprise by pushing it up and you know, getting shots within 4 or 5 seconds. Well, opposing teams are doing a better job of stopping that, putting some pressure on the first pass in and things of that nature. And I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, these teams do scout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mike Brown's response to that question was interesting. We'll get to that when we come back. No name sticking around, right?
I'll stick around.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. More with Frankie and Jerry Reynolds. It's the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
The Drive Guys, live and local, every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
Oh, Kyle Draper on assignment today. Whitey Gleason, Jerry Reynolds in for Kyle, and Frankie Cardicelli, our Sacktown Sports Kings insider with us. We've been talking about the Kings, where they are, what they need to do to get to where they want to be, and we were just discussing the fact that Mike Brown says we're not running enough. Why aren't the Kings getting out and running more? And he was asked about that after the loss to the Pelicans. And what Coach Brown said was, he said, we have too many guys coming back, calling for the ball instead of sprinting down court. And Kevin Herter said something that Davion had said when they were in Houston. And Kevin Herter said, paraphrasing, you know, we're focusing so much on defense now, it makes it harder to do what they want us to do on offense. And I don't know, Jared, that didn't make a lot of sense.
It really doesn't. I don't understand quite, I understand focusing on defense, but once the play is over, once they've scored, your responsibility is, now correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's over. You know, you have nobody, you have nobody to guard once the ball goes in.
Is that
right?
True, Frankie? You confirm that?
I can confirm that. Yeah, that does seem correct.
And so, you know, just like the it's time to sprint down the floor, I believe, would be the correct assumption there. So I think Coach Brown, I think Coach Brown's probably.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Right, I don't know about Kevin and Davion. I think they're maybe a little cop out going on.
Yeah, I think also like one thing that's kind of interesting about the Kings is they have a lot of different guys bringing the ball down. It's not really like the traditional, okay, you got your point guard, bring it down every time. You see, obviously, sure. Domas brings it down a lot. Kevin Herter will bring it down sometimes. Malik Monk, when he's in, he has been, I mean, the unofficial point guard of a second unit as far as the assist go. So I think it just might be of when the whoever's on the floor at the same time, maybe there's some confusion for a moment about who's bringing the ball down. And in that split second or 1.5 seconds it takes, that slows you down. And sometimes that's all it takes. I mean, we saw it with the Suns from back in the day with Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire. They weren't wasting any time getting the ball down the floor. And the
Kings
last year,
7 seconds or less, baby.
Yeah, the Kings weren't either. So I think right now we're seeing that, which is a good problem to have. You have guys that can bring down and initiate the offense.
Mm-hmm.
I just named five right there, but you want to be a little more clear-cut and know what you're doing. That way, when a basket is made, you can kind of get back in transition and get the ball in the basket, I guess, in a timely manner.
Frankie, as far as I know, you're not a doctor.
Grandpa is. I'm not.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of doctor?
He was in the OBGYN for like 40-plus years, yeah.
All right. But you decided you didn't want to follow in his footsteps?
No, I did not want to deliver babies. But okay. He jokes that he wanted someone in the family to follow the footsteps. I could not do that.
Okay.
No.
I was going to ask you a medical question, though, so...
I'm basically an expert.
Right, exactly. What do we know about Keegan Murray's back, really?
We know that he sat out yesterday, and today he was back on the floor, full participant, and we'll probably have an update on his status. The NBA puts out their injury report probably in the next 45 minutes. It might be on there or the one after that, but we'll know by tonight. And obviously with back injuries, and it's something that we were talking about with Henry Turner, and we had a nice conversation with him a while back, just saying how backs are different. Like, backs are different as far as injuries go, and I think when players or in any sport go through a knee injury or, you know, an elbow, whatever, like there's kind of a clear pathway to what we need to do to get this dealt with. Back is kind of tricky. Backs can span your lifetime, and especially low back. I mean, we're all human beings. We all feel back pain time to time. It can ruin your day. Obviously, Keegan was at a point where he really needed to shut it down and take some time off, and I think we all kind of, you know, we're a little nervous seeing him hold his back after contesting that Brandon Ingram jumper and going to the locker room. But the fact that he came back out and finished the game, and the fact that he was out there today fully participating, I think that's a good sign as far as he's in a good spot to play tomorrow night. Now, we don't know for sure, but I think that he's in a good spot compared to where he was a week and a half ago. And the Kings having the off week, was it Monday to Friday?
Mm.
A bummer, because we want to watch the Kings in the in-season tournament, obviously, but good for guys that have been banged up, and that includes De'Aaron Fox, who is still not 100% with that ankle injury. And like I talked about earlier, the Kings are kind of banged up right now, and that's not really where they were last year at all, and they have to take advantage of this downtime.
Mm-hmm. And they're asking an awful lot of Keegan Murray right now. You can understand he's got the weight of the world on his back.
Well, too, and as Frankie pointed out there, I mean, I think, well, backs are so tricky, and I mean, you've seen, I know too many people, you know, that lost careers due to backs.
I mean, Larry's career was kind of cut short.
Yeah, he basically had to have a fusion.
He was building his mom's driveway, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's how it started. Typical. You know, was shoveling gravel in his mom's driveway. It's a good move, Larry.
Why weren't you helping him do that?
If I'd been in front, I would have, because he'd have made me. He'd have said, if you want any cold beer, you shovel. You know, that was kind of the way that went. But yeah, I mean, Jeff Petrie, you know, would probably been a Hall of Fame player, I think, you know, was Rookie of the Year and then was a great player.
Great shooter.
But, you know, lower back finished him off, you know. Really, back still has a lot of back problems. And so you worry more about that, as you point out, than you do, you know, knee injuries. They're so much better taking care of those kind of things than they used to be because, you know, just a minor knee injury would have probably ended a career 40 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess the nice side is he's young. He's 23 years old, and you can see if, you know, the young body can bounce back quick, but it is something that I think we Kings fans should keep an eye on going forward.
Do you think the Kings will bring in a piece or two at the deadline? Do you think they need to get where they want to be this year?
I think that, and we talked about this yesterday again, so it's pretty fresh. It's like, is there a need? Do they need to? Yes. The question is it need to be this year? And that's an answer. I don't know. I mean, it could be, maybe, if you think that, like, I think I put it this way. De'Aaron Fox, if he was on an expiring contract, or maybe Domantas Sabonis is a better example because he just signed that extension. If he was an expiring contract right now, if that hadn't happened, yeah, I'd say that this is the time the Kings would have to say, okay, we have to maximize this window. Because if Sabonis, if by some chance is saying, okay, I'm going to see what my options are this summer, you need to go out there and get that OG Anunoby or Pascal Siakam, whoever down the list, because this is your one shot. They have a little bit of leeway here because Fox is under contract for two more years, wants to stay here. Sabonis, 4 more years. Mike Brown's under contract. Monty McNair, Kevin Herter, all these guys, you have your core. But if you feel like, okay, let's say the Kings are, you know, the 2 seed in February. Yeah, I mean, maybe you still, okay, let's swing for the fences and go for the move. My opinion is, I think if you're in a position where it's not going to cost you too much draft capital, because the Kings have draft capital, obviously, but you don't want to have Oklahoma City and Clippers deal where you're trading off 5, 6, 7, which they wouldn't do that, picks, you want to be able to have that in your back pocket for something down the line, because players that are available a year from now, we don't even know who that is going to be yet. Right now, the big names are Zach LaVine, Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby. Do the Kings have a clear need for any of those three? Probably out of the three, OG Anunoby. So I think that I'm kind of, not to sit on the fence to bring
it's a complex issue, and you don't want to make a deal for a rental like that disastrous Yankee deal to get Juan Soto. You don't want to trade for a guy, give up a bunch of future assets for a guy that might only be with you for, well, in the Kings case, like not even a whole year.
What clown person would agonize over that and stress over it for the past 2 days? Because he was, I mean, who would do that, hoping that the Yankees would get Juan Soto? I don't know anybody that would be that stressed
over. And you can't imagine Soto signing like a 10-year deal with the Yankees, could you?
Oh, I never could. I can never imagine him loving the short porch and wanting to stay there and make a bunch of money. That'd be horrible.
Our great Kings coverage is, you should know, SacktownSports.com. Of course, you hear Frankie on station all the time. Thanks, Frankie. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. It was an honor. Honor to talk with you guys. I'm looking forward to my next nickname.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.